I'd like to spend some time in Scripture dealing with what has become for me really a crucial topic, something that Catholic Christians have to understand much better to grow as Catholics, but also they have to study it more from Scripture to help fallen away Catholics rediscover their faith. The topic, of course, is the Holy Eucharist. And I have to say that when I was an anti-Catholic, it was one doctrine above all else that I opposed. I was opposed to Mary. I was opposed to the Pope. Both of those doctrines seem to be somewhat superstitious, teaching that the Pope is the infallible vicar of Christ, or teaching that Mary was conceived without sin. But sooner or later, I found Scripture to back those up and a lot of testimony from the early church fathers. But there was one thing that I found extremely repulsive about the Catholic Church, and that was that they instilled an idolatrous sense within Catholics to worship a wafer. You have to realize that some people are anti-Catholic because of bigotry or cultural prejudice. I didn't fall into that category. My concern was, if that wafer up on their altars is not God as they claim, then this act of adoration is nothing short of idolatry, sacrilege, desecration of the true God. And so I harbored a very deep conviction that the Mass was a sacrilege, that the Eucharist involved idolatrous worship. It took years of study and prayer for God to blast me out of that sort of misunderstanding. What I'd like to share in the next 45 minutes are the several steps by which I discovered, through Scripture and quite inadvertently, what the Catholic Church teaches about the Holy Mass. The stage was really set for this discovery process one Sunday morning. I attended Lanesville Congregational Church, which is where Kim and I were going while we were attending seminary, and my favorite professor and my dear friend and Hebrew instructor was preaching a sermon that Sunday. And Pastor Hugenberger was dwelling upon, just briefly for a few minutes, Jesus' death on the cross as it's recorded in John's Gospel. And in passing, he quoted from John 19, verse 30, where our Lord cries out, "It is finished." And then in passing, he raised the question. He asked the question, what does the "it" refer to? What did Jesus mean when he said, "It is finished"? Now my mind immediately went toward a customary interpretation that I had heard from many people before, and that is, the "it" refers to Jesus' work of redemption. That once he died on the cross, then there was nothing more for us to do to be saved. But then he pointed out how in Romans 4, verse 25, St. Paul teaches how it was essential for Jesus to be resurrected for us to be justified. So our salvation is not complete with the end of Jesus' sufferings, because his resurrection is an essential part of our salvation as well. All right, I sat there listening, wondering, okay, what does the "it" refer to? And then he had the gall to say, in front of the whole congregation, That's a question I haven't found an answer to. Let's move on. As soon as he said that, I'm like, no, wait a second. You don't do that, you know? And I was the kind of student who found that type of remark especially troublesome, because I was always that Socratic gadfly who liked to raise the hard questions and search out the hard answers. And so, frankly, I didn't hear another word of that sermon on that particular Sunday morning. I just began burrowing through Scripture to try to find an answer to the question that he had so impolitely raised without knowing the answer himself. And it took me weeks, and it ended up taking me months to find the answer. And the ultimate answer came in 1986 when I joined the Catholic Church and received communion for the first time. But let's back up a few steps. The first stage of my discovery process of trying to figure out what did Jesus refer to when he said, "It is finished," I wanted to back up. I wanted to take a few steps backwards and figure out, okay, what is the context for interpreting Jesus' sufferings on the cross as well as his last sayings? And it's clear that when you back up and you study this in context, that Jesus begins offering himself up as a voluntary sacrifice when he begins celebrating the Last Supper.